Good afternoon, everyone. Good to be here. In Acts 20, the Apostle Paul exhorted the Ephesian elders who came from Ephesus to see him in Miletus. And during the course of his address, Paul told these Ephesian elders that they would see his face no more. And this grieved them very much. Paul told them that he had coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel, and had worked with his own hands to support himself and those who were with him. In Acts 20, verse 35, let's read that. I have shown you in every way. He had set a good example by laboring like this, that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, when we receive blessings, that's tremendous, and we should all be thankful for that. But Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than receive. The Apostle Paul had been a living example of the give way of life. Paul had lived his Christian life as a marked man, with his life constantly in danger. The Apostle Paul gave himself wholly to preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and to caring for the churches of God that God used him to raise up. So today I want to speak about giving being better than receiving. As our Lord Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And the title that I've given this message is, More Blessed to Give Than to Receive. More blessed to give than to receive. The Most High God the Father is the greatest giver of all. He gave us this earth and this marvelous creation that we live as a part of. We live in a marvelous, beautiful creation. God has specially designed the earth and our solar system to provide us, along with our human effort, our food, clothing, and shelter. God the Father, as Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, God the Father provides sunshine on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. He provides for all. God's desire for the evil and the unjust is that they repent of their evil ways and become, with His help and Holy Spirit, good and just. The Father loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die in our stead so that we could have eternal life. We read that as a familiar scripture in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God the Father is the greatest giver of all. While we were all still sinners on spiritual death row, Christ died for us. According to Romans 5, verse 8. The Passover sacrifice of Jesus Christ was God's first step in God's plan of salvation revealed to us by the seven annual holy days that we have just finished observing. And what a joy it is to observe those seven annual holy days. It required an infinite amount of love and an infinite depth of love from the Father to give His only begotten Son as a perfect sacrifice so that all of us who believe on Him should not perish but have eternal life. So God the Father is the greatest giver of all. We should all strive to follow His example as much as humanly possible with the help of His Holy Spirit, which is a gift to us. Jesus Christ is also a great giver. He willingly gave up his place in the Godhead to be born of a virgin as a human being, as Emmanuel, God with us. His life was worth more than all of us human beings combined, going all the way back to Adam and Eve. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He never violated a single one of the Ten Commandments, the statutes of the judgment. He did not deserve to die. When he was facing being sacrificed as the Passover lamb, he prayed to God the Father, "Not as I will, but as you will." In Matthew 26, turn there, please. Matthew, the 26th chapter, in verse 39. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." And every time he came back, the disciples had fallen asleep on him, and he went back and he prayed the same thing three times, the scripture says. And he prayed the same thing again in verse 42. He went away again a second time, verse 42, and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And so Christ submitted himself to the will of the Father and went through with the crucifixion and was the perfect sacrifice. Sometime during or after his crucifixion with two criminals, Jesus in agony said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's in Luke 23, verse 34. In the process of being humiliated, beaten to a pulp, and in agony on the cross, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He had compassion on them when he was hanging on the cross in agony. In the midst of being the greatest gift that God the Father could give to mankind, Jesus is concerned here by the state, spiritual state, of his executioners. Jesus Christ was and is also a great giver. He is the perfect example of giving for us to follow with the help of God's Spirit. The children of Israel gave God many reasons to be disappointed with their behavior, their law-breaking. But there's one case where God must have been pleased with their giving attitude. And this case was the example of the children of Israel giving so much for the building of the tabernacle that they had to be stopped from overgiving. They had to be restrained from giving anymore. And that's in Exodus, the 36th chapter, if you turn there, please. Exodus 36. Let's look at the part where they were restrained, beginning in verse 4 of Exodus 36. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, "The people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do." So Moses gave a commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, "Let neither man nor woman do any more work for the offering of the sanctuary." And the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient for all the work to be done. Indeed, too much. Now, don't ever think that we're going to ever get a letter saying, "You've sent in too many offerings. You've sent in too many tithes." Won't happen. We won't ever be able to give enough. But here, for the purpose of building the tabernacle, the children of Israel gave too much. God had told Moses that he was going to give the children of Israel favor in the eyes of the Egyptians. and that they would not leave Egypt empty-handed. And you can read that in Exodus 3, verse 21. When the children left Israel, left Egypt, they had plundered the Egyptians just as the Lord had said. In Exodus, the 12th chapter. In Exodus, the 12th chapter. Exodus 12, verse 35 and 36. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. And so God was looking ahead. And so in this plundering of the Egyptians, God provided the children of Israel with silver and gold and many other items that they would be able to give as offerings to God for the building of a sanctuary. God instructed the children of Israel through Moses to take up an offering from those who would give with a willing heart. In Exodus, the 25th chapter. In Exodus 25. Verse 2, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. This offering would be used to construct the tabernacle, a sanctuary for God to dwell among them in. In verse 25, verse 8, Exodus 25, verse 8, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. We can see how the children of Israel responded. They gave and they kept on giving in Exodus 35. There's a summary of their giving starting in verse 20 of Exodus 35. Verse 20, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing. And they brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service and for the holy garments. They came, both men and women, as many as had a willing heart. Notice they all had a willing heart that came, and brought earrings and nose rings, rings and necklaces. All jewelry of gold, that is, every man who offered an offering of gold to the Lord. Verse 23, and every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, red skins of rams and badger skins, brought them. Everyone who offered an offering of silver or bronze brought the Lord's offering, and everyone with whom was found acacia wood for any work of the service brought it. All the women who were gifted artisans spun yarn with their hands and brought what they had spun of blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred with wisdom spun yarn of goat's hair. The rulers bought onyx stones and the stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and spices and oil for the light, for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a free will offering to the Lord, all the men and women whose hearts were willing to bring material of all kinds of work which the Lord, by the hand of Moses, had commanded to be done. So they gave and they kept on giving. And it is more blessed to give than to receive. So they responded with such a giving, willing heart that they offered more than was needed, that we have read earlier here in Exodus 36, verses 4 to 7. We read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, that the Old Testament examples are written for our admonition on whom the ends of the ages have come. We can look at these examples and gain insight about how to conduct our lives in a way that is pleasing to God. We can look at wrong examples and strive to avoid following these wrong examples. We can look at the positive examples and pattern our lives after these good works. In the case of the children of Israel contributing toward the building of a tabernacle, this is a positive example for us to follow in our offerings. And we often hear, before we take up Holy Day offerings, that God likes a willing heart. And these children of Israel had a willing heart. The children of Israel gave with such a willing heart that they gave more than was needed for the tabernacle. And what a great example this is for you and I to follow, for us to follow. According to the Scripture, another example, a giving example here in the Old Testament, David was a man after God's own heart. It came into David's mind to build a temple dedicated to the Lord his God. But God would not allow David to build the temple because he said, you've been in a lot of wars and you've shed a lot of blood. And so he wouldn't allow David to build the temple, but he said, you're going to have a son that's going to be at peace and he'll build the temple. Turn to 1 Chronicles 22. 1 Chronicles 22, beginning in verse 7 of 1 Chronicles 22, and David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name. Because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, which means peaceful, according to the New King James margin. For I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. And so David goes on here to give Solomon some very good advice. In 1 Chronicles 22, continuing in verse 11, he says, now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper, and build the house of the Lord your God, as he has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding, and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God, which Solomon didn't do in his old age. Then you will prosper if you keep the law of the Lord your God, if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. And so David, in his later years, went on to make great preparation for the house of the Lord. Notice what he says here in verse 14. Indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold. Now, if my math is correct, and I got the price of gold this morning at $1,173 per ounce, this 100,000 talents of gold was on the order of 188 trillion U.S. dollars. 188, rounded off, trillion U.S. dollars. And 1 million talents of silver. And I got the price of silver this morning from Monex, as I did the gold. And that computes out, if my math is correct, to about $26 trillion, U.S. dollars, of silver. And so David, as he said, did make great preparation. He contributed a tremendous amount of his own wealth, or wealth that came from the children of Israel. So he made great preparations for the house of the Lord. So David, a man after God's own heart, is a good example for us to follow in our giving, as the scriptures say, as we are able. And so he was able to give much, much more than any of us could ever begin to. When a person gives, that person is being more like God. God the Father and God the Son. God has given us incredible physical blessings and, most importantly, spiritual blessings. When a person gives, that person is exhibiting a quality that is more like God's giving nature. The disciples of Jesus often argued about which one of them would be the greatest. James and John's mother came asking Jesus to allow James and John to sit on Jesus' left hand and right hand in his kingdom. Jesus told them that to sit on his right hand and on his left hand was not his to give, but it was for those who had been prepared by his Father. Jesus went on to tell them that the greatest among the disciples would be those who serve the most, those who give of themselves the most, in Matthew, the 20th chapter. Matthew 20. Those who serve the most, who give the most, are the greatest. Matthew 20, beginning in verse 25 of Matthew 20. But Jesus called them to himself and said, now this is after James and John's mother has come to Jesus and asked him about her two sons sitting at the right hand and the left hand in his kingdom. And in verse 24, and when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. In verse 25, so Jesus has a teaching point here. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. They're harsh, harsh rulers. And those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, among his disciples, among his followers, among his church. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. He's the one that carries the load, that serves, that helps. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. A slave to serving, a slave to doing good. A servant to doing good, to helping others. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So Jesus said that the biggest servant and the biggest slave would be the greatest. The one who gives the most in service would be the greatest. When a person gives, that person is laying up treasures in heaven. In Matthew 6. Matthew 6. When a person gives, that person is laying up treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:19. Jesus said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. When we go off and leave our homes to go off for the feast, you hope and you pray that everything will be in place and nothing broken into when we get back home. And Jesus said, instead of laying up treasures here on the earth, we ought to lay up treasures in heaven. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your heart is on yourself and your own physical accumulation of treasure, you're not thinking about others. You're not giving and serving as much. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you're giving and serving, your heart will be on others. If you're serving yourself, your treasure will be in your own heart. So when a person gives, that person is laying up treasures in heaven. God wants us to lay up some treasures for ourselves, but not to the exclusion of serving and giving to others. God would have us to use some of our treasure to help others. When we lay up treasures exclusively for ourselves, we are selfishly thinking of ourselves. We are focusing selfishly on ourselves. When we give to others and take care of others, we're laying up treasures of service in heaven, for where our treasure is, there our heart is going to be also. Jesus said that he's going to reward those who give of themselves in service to other brethren. In Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, that Jesus said he's going to reward people that serve others. Then he said, when you serve others that can't serve you back, that it's like doing it to him. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, when he comes back to sit as king over this earth, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. Verse 32, Matthew 25, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left hand. And it's not good to be a goat in this parable. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. Now, I want you to take note of every one of these things that Jesus' disciples are being commended for. It's doing something good and serving others. For I was hungry, verse 35, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I didn't have a place to stay, and you put me up for several nights in your home. I was naked, and you clothed me. I didn't have any clothes to wear, and you helped me get clothes. You gave me your clothes. You took me to Goodwill. I was sick and you visited me. You were in the hospital and I came to see you. I was in prison and you came to me. And there's a whole group of us that are visiting and holding services for men in prison who got there because they broke the law. But they're trying to change. And we have an opportunity to preach the kingdom of God to them and to repent and not to go back to what they came out of. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? 38. When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So God the Father and Jesus Christ are very serious about service. And Jesus said, when you serve and take care of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So Jesus is going to reward those who have a servant's heart. We all need to give more in service to others. More of us need to sign those get well cards in the back. More of us need to send out cards and letters to the sick. More of us need to visit the sick and the needy. More of us need to set up these halls for Sabbath services and help tear down after services. More of us need to help with the sound system or with the webcasting. More of us need to bring food and drink items for our monthly potluck. Sometimes there are shortages because some of us do not ever contribute. Are you a giver or a taker in this regard? All of us need to increase our service to others inside and outside the church of God. This service should be quietly done as much as possible, where no one else knows but the person being served and God Himself. The service is not being done for show, not to be seen by others. When a person gives, their mind is focused on others and not selfishly on themselves. Turn to Luke 6, please. Luke 6, 38. When a person gives, their mind is focused on others and not selfishly on themselves. Luke 6, 38. Verse 37 has to do with judging and condemning, and forgive and you will be forgiven. Now verse 38, give, and verse 38 is about giving. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. What goes around comes around. We reap what we sow, as Mr. Lewis read. What we give out of generosity will come back to us, this scripture says. God will back it up. The measure that we use will be measured back to us. And with this attitude, we esteem others better than ourselves and look out for the interest of others. In Philippians, the second chapter. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. See what you're selfish. With the word selfish in there in the scripture. But in lowliness of mind, being humble, filled with humility. Let each esteem others better than himself. If we're busy looking at others as being better and more righteous than us, that kind of does away with pride, doesn't it? And so we esteem others better than ourselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. A person with a giving heart will suffer with those who suffer and rejoice with those who rejoice. In 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We all should empathize with, have compassion on, spend time with, rejoice with, not having thoughts or feelings of jealousy. All of the members should have the same care for one another. The last part of verse 25. But that the members should have the same care for one another. In closing, our Lord Jesus Christ said that it is more blessed to give than to receive. God the Father and Jesus Christ are the two most giving beings of all, the ultimate examples for us to follow. We reviewed two examples of giving from the Old Testament Scriptures, the example of the children of Israel overgiving toward the construction of the tabernacle, and the tremendous amount of wealth that David gave toward the construction of the temple that Solomon built. Jesus said that the greatest among his followers would be those who give the most in service to others. Jesus promises a reward to those who serve others. He said, "Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." When we give, our minds are focused on others and we lay up treasures in heaven. As our Lord Jesus Christ said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.